36. Element of Surprise. Octavia awoke and looked at the clock in her tent. 6:15 exactly. After 2 days of heavy training, her muscles ached. Tonight she would turn in her ticket and take her bath, an hour of heaven that would keep her going through another day of sabre fights, body throws, calisthenics, and long runs. A soldier stepped into her tent without knocking. "Report to Mr. Socrates' tent at 0600 hours. He turned and marched out. "Good morning to you too, Bufflehead," she said. It wasn't shocking to have him enter unannounced. She was considered a regular member of the Association Forces, and the soldiers only knocked if a tent belonged to a commissioned officer. She'd learned to dress quickly. She'd been sleeping in her uniform for the last few days anyway, to save time. She dropped to the ground and did 25 push-ups, and when she was done, her brain was fully awake. All the hand-to-hand combat training with Tharpa had sharpened her skills. Several times she'd taken down Association soldiers, to their great surprise and embarrassment. "I'm a real prize fighter," she told herself. "A slasher, no less." At 6:00, she crossed to her master's tent. It was 4 times the size of her own and bright with oil lamps. Mr. Socrates sat at a table, maps spread across it. Tharpa was there, too, with Modo sitting across from him in his Association uniform and his black mask. Anticipation shone in his eyes. Then she recognized the man sitting beside Mr. Socrates. Footman. She had only ever seen him answering the door or serving food at the many Association safe houses, but here he was, at Camp Cobra. All this time that he'd been fetching tea and answering the door, he'd actually been one of Mr. Socrates' agents. Footman's arm was in a sling, his face bruised, and he looked like he hadn't eaten for days. Tharpa set a cup of tea in front of him. "So, last to the table, Octavia," Mr. Socrates said.
"Fashionably late, sir," she said.
"It's a woman's prerogative." "But not a soldier's. Please have a seat." He waited until she had done so. "As you can see, Footman has returned. He's brought valuable intelligence about the Clockwork Guild. He and Cook even managed to steal one of their Triton boats."
So Cook was an agent too?
How could someone so good with pastry and beef also be an agent? What next? Mrs. Finchley proclaimed as the true master of the Permanent Association?
"Where is Cook?"
Octavia asked. "He's dead," Mr. Socrates said matter-of-factly. "We'll get to the events that led to his death in a moment." Octavia felt her chest tighten, and she exchanged glances with Modo. With his mask on, it was hard to read his reaction. She had been so fond of Cook. "Footman has provided us with the exact location of the Clockwork Guild's island." He tapped the map with his finger, indicating what looked like open water in the Pacific. She noted that it was northwest of Hawaii, the only island she recognized on the map. "They've been hiding there all this time, building up their armaments. They have even assembled a replica of the Crystal Palace and use it as the center of their operations."
"Why the Crystal Palace?" Modo asked.
"They hate all things British." "There must be some symbolic message for us in that choice, but it doesn't matter. What does matter is that we've uncovered the fact that the Guild is very close to completing 3 massive warships, even larger than the Wyvern. With those ships manned and armed, the Guild would become very difficult to defeat. Footman also discovered that they seem to be working on what I can only describe as a horrible cadaver project. Our fears about another Typhon were correct. Footman, please tell them what you saw."
Footman nodded. "Bodies. We discovered a laboratory with many bodies, and Dr. Hyde was sewing them together."
"You mean dissecting them, don't you?" Modo asked.
"No, reconstructing them. Later on we had to fight one of those dead men. He killed Cook and broke my ribs and arm."
"What Footman's describing is an encounter with Typhon or another creature," Mr. Socrates said. "They have somehow animated the dead. Neither Footman nor Cook could injure him. The Clockwork Guild's science in this realm is well beyond our own. If they're creating more Typhons, then that would be a powerful advantage in any battle. Imagine 10 Typhons leading an infantry charge." He let this image sink in. "Remember, Modo, what his name means?
Typhon was the father of all monsters in Greek mythology. This is a message to us from the guild. Mr. Socrates stopped to sip his tea. His hand was steady as he set the cup down. Octavia thought he even looked younger. He loved this part of his life. We must strike now, before those ships arrive. He looked around the table, gauging everyone's reaction. Octavia remained solemn and unreadable. She liked sneaking in and out of houses or alleys, but full-force attacks on enemy islands were not on her list of enjoyable activities. "Footman's keen eye has taken a measure of their island," Mr. Socrates said. "Through the night I designed a map with details of their defences." He unfolded another small map, this one drawn in ink. It looked rather messy to Octavia. "Here is the palace. Below it, the port, well guarded by guns. There is an observation tower here along with an airship dock. Tall cliffs on the three other sides of the island make it unassailable from those directions. But footmen discovered water caves in the cliffs that took them to the surface. They may even lead into the fortress."
"The dragoons are too big for the tunnels," footmen pointed out.
"Yes, but they're designed for a frontal assault. The number of guns will make it a very difficult task." "With the full strength of the British Navy behind us," Modo said, "it shouldn't be so difficult." "We'll not have the full force of the Navy," Mr. Socrates said. "We are a small but elite force, and we'll have the element of surprise on our side."
"I do hope that we'll have more than surprise," Octavia said. "Maybe a few howitzers. Just a suggestion."
"We'll have plenty enough military muscle," Mr. Socrates said. "Trust me when I say that a full frontal assault with the Navy would require months of planning, requisition forms, and having to convince certain implacable admirals. If only Lord Nelson was still with us. There was a man who could make quick decisions." He paused and pointed at the map. "If we strike now, we can destroy them with one blow. If we wait, they could get wind of our plans, pack up their island, and slither away."
"But what is the plan?" Modo asked.
"It will be unveiled the night of the invasion. Until then, only I will know what it is."
"And when will the invasion begin?" Octavia asked.
"We leave tomorrow night."
"So soon?" She wanted to shout. "How could they possibly organize troops and armaments and supplies?"
She looked at Modo to see how he was taking all this. His eyes shone with excitement.